Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin!
Timothy.
You made it.
I made it.
You survived.
I'm on the other side.
You survived your Sky News TV appearance.
Yeah, and I've even had a sleep after it because I had to.
Yeah, you just collapsed when we got home. That was emotionally exhausting. So for those of you who missed our last podcast, Caitlin was very stressed about a TV appearance because she's a woman and she's worried about how she would look, and our culture has given her a bunch of insecurities about how female bodies show up on camera and stuff. But she went on and she did great. Sky News is like, you know, Australian Murdoch television. And there was this right-wing show called The Outsiders. Ooh. And they had her on to talk about anti-war stuff with Partisan Girl, the Syrian-Australian woman from where is she? Perth?
Perth, yeah.
Yeah. And she's the Partisan Girl on Twitter.
Yeah.
Her real name's Marum.
Marum Sigley, I think. Or
something like that.
Yeah. Soosley, that's it.
Yeah. And she was delightful.
Yeah, she's beautiful. So that was really cool. And I mean, it's an interesting show. Did you know that it came out of the Trump election?
Mm.
That's they did a little. They called themselves the Outsiders and stuff, and they did what was going to be a wake.
Oh, because they were expecting Trump to lose.
Yeah, and of course he didn't. And they had the best ratings that they've ever had on Sky News in Australia. So they used that to try and they wiggled it in a show. And so it's called The Outsiders because there's this long-running show on Australia called The Insiders, which is on the ABC, and it's terribly, terribly liberal, very left-wing, and it's been going for years and years and years and years and years. So, that kind of spirit of anarchy, I guess. And it's got a lot of spirit of anarchy, that show, hasn't it? Because we were watching it in the green room. Well, the green stairs. The studio is like in a stairwell.
So. It's weird. Yeah, they had all this space to make these, like the boardroom and stuff and their meeting places. And then the actual talent gets stuck under the stairs.
Yeah. Like Harry Potter. Yeah. But so we were watching them and they were they were rather eccentric, weren't they? Rowan looks like a little crumpled ball of tissues.
He looked like he was sleeping on a cot backstage, right next, adjacent to the set, 5 minutes before the show started.
Yes. Yeah, so, and they had some interesting segments and stuff before, so that was really funny.
They're funny, man. They're just so funny, like, I don't know. I would describe it as like a funny, self-aware, smarter InfoWars.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of. Like, you know, they say some reasonable things, they're good on peace and stuff. But then they'll say, just come out of nowhere, we're like, Antifa terrorists, yes. Paid by Soros.
I didn't even know that existed on Australia television. So that in itself was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
It's delightful.
Yeah.
It's like being back home in America.
Yeah, so I went up to the little studio and stuff and, I went okay. Like, you know, I came out of the blocks. I had all these things to say. I'm not the best speaker at the best of times, but I think I did okay.
You did great. You said all the important shit. You really just threw the biggest monkey wrench you could find into the gears of the machine like you wanted to. You hit all the right notes. You talked about all the bullshit with Syria and Russia and...
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, like you're going exactly counter to the mainstream narrative. So you kind of got to give people the background of what's really going on and then the thrust of it as well. So it's quite right. Difficult to talk to, especially right. To an Australian audience who really just get the propaganda that on foreign affairs anyway.
Right. Yeah, they do. Yeah. So it's a little tricky. It's not like our podcasts or your articles where you're kind of jumping in where you left off.
Yeah, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Like, right. You know, you don't have to give any background. So, so I was aware of that all the time of trying to make that kind of, to paint out the landscape as well while bringing out the details. But anyway, and I fucked up a few times. But Oh, well.
It was fine. It was, you said, I don't know. Your haters were so upset that you didn't differentiate clearly enough between the proper left and the centrists, but also those are your haters.
Yeah, I know.
And just hate the thing that you are.
And the thing was that, it's true. I didn't differentiate with my words those two areas, but they understood me enough. They understood what I was saying enough to say, oh, you didn't say that.
Well, like, you did, though. I mean, you said the anti-war left has been silenced and as called by being smeared as Russian agents and Nazis. You're not talking about centrist Democrats there. You're clearly talking about leftists.
Right. And then I said, and the actual left or whatever. I don't know. I could have done that a little better. There's a lot of things I could have done better.
Yeah, but they're not actually, it's not, there was nothing wrong with your ideas that you were sharing. Their nitpick is not with the ideas that you're sharing or that you're saying something that is wrong. It's that you didn't say it right.
These are the exact same people, too, that are telling me that I'm also a Nazi.
Yeah, I don't even know why we dedicate airtime to these people. Like, it's really just like maybe a few dozen to a couple hundred at the most on Twitter.
They have a very loud presence, and people do
very streamlined.
Yeah, people do get the ripple effect of that. I do come across people who have nothing to do with them and say, "Well, aren't you with that Nazi lady?" I'm like, oh my fucking god. Okay.
Yeah, so, and they have succeeded in wedging you out of leftist circles in certain
areas.
Yeah, I mean, you still have a lot of leftist followers, but they're only the ones that are able to think for themselves and not succumb to groupthink or don't take Twitter that seriously.
Yeah, but there was, you know, yeah, they've wedged me out of quite a few kind of things. They've been quite successful. Yeah,
pretty much anytime any big lefty shares one of your lefty arguments that's totally perfectly on point from a socialist perspective, they're still like, you can't share her because she's a Nazi.
Right.
And then they'll try to say that they're attacking the argument and not the person. No, you're attacking the person.
No, and you could tell that it's really just about keeping me quiet because today, that was the perfect example. They have been nowhere near me for weeks and weeks, but it's like they've got a little siren bell or something like, wah, 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 Caitlin's getting larger. Look, she's on television.
Almost as though they have a few troll accounts watching you very carefully.
Yeah.
And alerting the...
Oh my God. Isn't it weird how obsessive people are? Ah, there's such... I mean, someone said, you know, I just saw a quote the other day saying, no one will be as interested and curious about you as your, you know, haters.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They, yeah.
You're not going to find anyone who likes your stuff combing through all your tweets looking for something that could possibly be construed as this or that.
Yeah, I know. I find that really weird and violating, though, that they are combing through stuff. So they're obviously just reading tens of thousands of words that are all things that they totally would agree with.
Yeah, and so they know for a fact that you're not a Nazi.
Yeah, and
they know that.
Yeah, they know that, right? And, like, you know, I've had the same experience. I've, you know, someone, people, my, particularly my haters who are, like, you know, have profiles and stuff like that, people show me, they say, oh, look at this, look at what this person said. And I'll go and look and go, yeah, that's out of context. That's nothing. Right. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, I can't make a thing out of that because I read it normally. Like, you know, and I don't expect them. Ah, it's so weird to me. And then, I'll go through it and go, they actually write some good things. And I wish I could actually, you know.
You're so not like them. You're just a completely different creature. Whereas they can go a year holding the same rigid set of beliefs and, like, twisting their perspective really in this just bizarre contortion and just hold that posture for a full year.
I don't know how you do that. You must get sick.
I don't know.
Like, would you? It would make me physically ill to be like that.
Well, they don't act like they're comfortable psychologically.
No, that's true. They do act like they're running from something all the time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they keep trying to make you smaller, but you keep getting bigger and whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my day. So that was good. We had breakfast after. That was fun. Yeah. And my daughter did my makeups and stuff. And it was a good day. I liked it. It was all right. I'll do that again. That was okay.
You got some articles for us?
Yes. So, right. Well, the Atlantic Council, right? They, you know, they're behind everything.
Everything, right?
Right.
What? Bellingcat?
Yeah.
The DNC, the whole DNC hack. Entire DNC hack is substantiated only by CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
And their main guy, Dimitri something or other, he's on their board. Or he's a fellow.
Yeah.
Just like Elliot Higgins of Bellingcat and all those Bellingcat people.
Yeah, so Elliot Higgins is a Syria guy.
Atlantic Council was also behind those smears of the fake Russian bots.
Right.
They were behind that Ben Nemo guy who did that.
That's right. That was just recent.
Yeah, he was the one who was harassing Ian Schilling.
Yeah.
And few other things too. Proper Knot. There's got connections to Proper Knot. And also the Jeremy Corbyn bot thing.
Yes. Yeah, they've been working very hard on that. That's been one of their major projects because, you know,
smear Corbyn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't
really work, no. So in fact it had the opposite effect. Oh dear, how sad, never mind. They did quite well in the local elections. Not that you would know that from the coverage. It's kind of they covered
a lot of Orwellian double things.
Yeah, yeah. So Labour did they not only kept their gains from last time, which was like which they described as devastating for the Tories in the last election.
And didn't they? They, like, snapped up some seats that were previously held by that Brexit party, right?
Yes, which they should have been able to do. UKIP, I mean. Yeah, yeah, that's not in their area. They were
supposed to be conservative.
Right, yeah. So, so they did really well out of that. So, anyway, whatever. Give it a go. But, so this one, particularly, this is really interesting. This is so the headline is Atlantic Council explains why we need to be propagandized for our own good.
This was so weird. You guys.
You gotta read it.
Check out Caitlin's article, but more importantly, check out the article that this article is about.
Yeah.
Because, wow. Yeah. Holy fucking shit.
Well, this lady, Elizabeth Brough, now she's a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. She's obviously given herself the task of selling propaganda.
Selling the concept of
propaganda, right. Of propagandizing and how that is a good thing for all of us to be propagandized thoroughly. For real. This is for real. She really sat down.
Entire article, not just like now a paragraph or two. The whole thing is about this.
Yes. Yeah. So it's pretty fascinating, isn't it?
I kept having to pick my jaw up. Why do you go, what? You're just saying it. You're just saying it to us. You're not meant to say it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you think it already, but you're not meant to just say it.
Yeah. So we used to talk about, like, all the time, I used to write lots of articles trying to kind of outline the invisible censorship and the invisible propaganda of the invisible empire.
Hey.
But they're right out here going, yeah, okay, but we need to do that, guys. You know that, right? You need to be propaganda.
Yeah, so this lady came out and she wrote about, what was it called? Like, we need a NATO for InfoWar.
Yes.
She called it InfoWar.
Yes. Right. So for info, yeah, right. So they're trying to co-opt Alex Jones's term, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've been saying information war. That BBC journalist that you wrote the article about.
Yes.
And we beat up on her a bit.
What was her name? Anita McVeigh.
Yeah, she said, well, you shouldn't say truthful things about Syria because we're in an information war with Russia. Hello.
Now, that's happened quite a few times since then.
Right.
I haven't really even been able to alert people because it's suddenly become the parlance of the day. So now they've shortened it to InfoWar.
Yeah, and this is just taken for granted. Yeah, no, this is just taken for granted. So you know how you used to think that we, the media, would tell you the news about the things that are happening in the world?
Yeah.
That is no longer, you are actually a pawn in a game in which we are fighting Russia. And what we're trying to do is manipulate you and win this information war.
Yes.
They're just saying it.
Isn't that weird? So, I mean, that's also extremely scary to me because one of the things I was like, well, look, this only works if people don't know what's happening. But the thing is, on Twitter, people are saying, yeah, well, I think we do need to be propagandized. I think, you know, our propaganda needs to be better than the Russians.
They've propagandized the concept of propaganda, in the acceptance of propaganda.
This is a strange world, Timothy. It's a really weird world that we're living in.
Well, I mean, that's basically the idea. So this lady wrote, what's her name? I cannot remember for the life of me. She wrote it for Defense One. And she's a
she's a senior fellow.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Brough.
Yeah, that's right. And her argument was that Russia is using propaganda and making people think wrong things. They're putting wrong ideas into people's heads. And since they are using propaganda to make people think wrong things, we need to form an international alliance to make people think right things.
Yes. So, as if that wasn't happening already. That was the other funny thing.
That's the weirdest. The whole entire article is written under the premise that this isn't already happening.
The corporate media isn't a thing.
Yeah, the corporate media does not act the way that it acts. There's even a paragraph in there where one of their expert people comes in and says, like, well, you know, Western media gives equal coverage to Russian narratives and Western narratives. And they, you know, and the journalists remain impartial. And they're just like, well, America says this, but then Russia says that. And who's to say who's correct? As though that's a thing.
That hasn't happened for 30 years, I reckon. 20, 30 years. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where, what?
Yeah, no. And, you know, I mean, you can't even, like, if you go on to MSNBC, you can't even get news from the other party. Like, it's not even just nationalistic news. Like, it's been partisaned as well. Right. It's the news is.
That's true. You can only get one half of one side
of the two-headed monster. Yeah. So yeah, which is like, you know, deliberate because it's just created to keep people fighting on issues that they will never ever 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 have any control over, such as gun rights and abortion, and so. Things that'll never change, but they, yeah. So this is really interesting. This is a new edge. I mean, she had to go to the former Prime Minister of Estonia for one of her quotes. I think it was the quote that you just said, actually. I think that was
one of them. But there was another one you picked up that was even weirder, I thought. The one about the ships.
Right. Okay, I'll read this in full because
can I preface it?
Yes, because
you prefaced this with an idea that we've been talking about a whole lot, which is basically
what the hell is the problem?
Yeah, why is Russian propaganda dangerous? What is the threat? What is the actual? Does it make us fall down?
Yeah.
Does it make us drive like we're drunk? What is the actual danger here? Will it make us join the Russian army? Will it make us elect Vladimir Putin president? What exactly is the threat? And they never answer you. Like, if you try to engage them in the debate and get them to tell you what the threat is, they will not do it.
They might say, well, we will not have any trust in our institutions.
Yeah, and then you say, okay, so why is that dangerous?
Yeah.
And it just eventually, if you follow down, if you keep asking questions, there's just nothing there. It's just empty.
Yeah, it's just a general fear of the other.
Right. So what this author of this article did, which no one ever does, is try to answer, this is why Russian propaganda is dangerous. This is the actual tangible threat.
Good on her, hey?
Yeah, I'm glad she took a stab at it.
What a soldier for the empire, hey?
Yeah, hardly nobody else did it. She stood up. She's like, fuck it, I'll try to answer it.
Yeah, so this
I'll take one for the team.
This is the danger, everyone.
Okay.
What if Russia suddenly announced that its Baltic fleet had dispatched an armada towards Britain? Would most people greet the news with steely resolve in the knowledge that their governments would know what to do? Or would constant Kremlin-influenced reports about the incompetence of British institutions make them conclude that any resistance was pointless?
Where do you even like start with that?
Such an imaginary situation.
So, yeah, first of all, so Russia is sending their navy to fight the British Navy. First of all, nobody's done that in hundreds of years because the British Navy, you just don't fuck with them. Everyone knows that. Russia attacking the British Navy would be like the British attacking Russia in a land invasion in the winter. You're not going to do that. That's not a thing. Second of all, they're not going to attack. They're not going to attack England. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, what idiot? For? What why for?
Why would they even do that?
Yeah.
There's not anything remote. What?
Yeah.
There's no threat of that.
That
happening.
Is just pure projection because the only people who attack anymore is this Western Empire.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's much, much, much more likely to be the other way around. That will not happen. We are many, many, many clicks away from anything. Like remotely like that ever being a possibility, like infinite clicks away. And also, so the idea is that Russia sends its navy to have a sea war with Britain, with the UK, and
it's just not greeted with enough enthusiasm to
the the British people,
they're just not exuberant enough
because somehow something happened, and now all of a sudden the only channel in England is RT.
Yes.
And everyone believes it. Yeah. There's no other narratives happening except Russian narratives in England. And everyone just assumes, well,
they welcome them as liberators or something.
even then, in this bizarre fantasy world creation of theirs, that still wouldn't stop the British Navy from being able to fight.
Yes.
Like, that has no bear. Oh, they won't have their pom-poms out and be cheering on the shores. What the fuck?
Not one Union Jack will be upheld and fluttered in the wind.
That's not... So this is their best argument.
Well, I mean, and she really is pointing to the thing that they're worried about. The thing that they're worried about is that people will lose this notion of patriotism and fear of the other, which will then mean that manufacturing consent for these endless wars will become more and more and more difficult because people will be like, yeah, I don't see your fucking point. Really? Honestly, the Russians are all right. They've never hurt me. And, you know, from what I can tell by their RT, of course they have their problems and, you know, Putin's a bit of a dickhead. But, like, you know, never hurt me.
Right.
The live and let live thing will take over.
Right. And, yeah, if you look at the actual arguments that they're making and the actual areas in which they are defended, it always comes down to that. It always comes down, like, the two things they're freaking out about in this article and in the next article you address in your next one is the Skripal case, which was used to increase Cold War escalations.
Yep.
And the Duma narrative, which was used for hot war and for a bombing and probably to move the needle closer to a permanent military presence in Syria.
The doomsday clock guy must be just like, I have no more seconds. Like, I've got no many. Like, the clock is only, you know, I've only got a 12-hour clock, guys. You stop it.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have moved it so close to midnight from the beginning.
I know, yeah, it was a bit hyperbole, wasn't it? Like, yeah. We haven't given him much room to move. But anyway, so this is her whole argument that there will be not sufficient enough enthusiasm if the UK is attacked. Now, the thing is, the UK is not going to be attacked. No one's ever going to attack. That's not what they're worried about. They want the UK to attack, and they want people to be enthusiastic about that.
That's the actual thing. Just the fact that they're talking about battleships tells you that.
Right, like, yeah.
They're saying, no, if we need to send battleships to go and attack Russia and its allies, then people will not want that to happen.
Yes. So what's interesting is this is the best they had. This is elite level Atlantic Council, probably, like, you know, from the very council itself, you know, usually they get the journalists and sometimes the journalists fuck it up a bit. So they're stepping up to the mark. And it's like, right, we're going to tell them exactly.
Yeah, you know. This was the opposite. This was the journalistic publication publishing a Atlantic Council propagandist think tanker.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Now, so here's the thing. The problem is that, yes, we're losing trust in our institutions. That is occurring because our institutions are showing themselves up to be very untrustworthy. Now, just you can't get that. You can't stuff that rabbit back in the box. Like, it's just not going to go. We've already seen too much, guys. You're going to have to change the institutions. That's the only thing that can actually occur right now. No one can unsee that. You might, I mean, you know, like having looked online after the, after posting this article, there are definitely people who are on board with I don't even mind being lied to as long as it gets rid of Trump. All of this weird stuff. But, you know, so there, you know, there are always idiots. But, like, in general, most of the population is not going to stand for being lied to, even if you're being honest about lying. Like,
right.
So, it's not about manipulating better. It's about being better. It's time, you know.
Yeah, just maybe stop being fucking assholes.
Right.
And people will trust you more. You trust their institutions more. They'll trust intelligence agencies and defense agencies and the mass media if they maybe stopped lying constantly.
Yeah. And that's really all they can do. You know, you can look to the Democrats, guys, Atlantic Council. Look to the Democrats. You know, they decided after everything that had happened and how badly they were revealed through those emails, they decided that the thing that they could do about it was get on message better, which is basically the same idea, isn't it? We just need to get on message.
Yeah, no, the problem isn't that we're a entirely plutocrat-owned party that rigs its own primaries for the benefit of wealthy bankers and war profiteers. The problem is that we're not lying effectively enough.
Yes, that's what their conclusion was. And what have we seen since then? They're just losers. That they are losing this. They are losing this slowly, but they are losing this. So, and you're losing this too. You're going to lose this.
Stop lying.
Stop lying. Start being better. So that was number one. Now this one, the next one was any discussion of Russian disinfo is invalid unless it addresses Iraq lies.
I like it when you can get the whole entire article basically in the headline.
Well, you and I worked real hard on that one.
There's a whole bunch of rewrites to get it into one tiny two-liner headline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people accuse me of clickbait all the time. It's not actually that. It's the fact that we get the story in the headline with a good pick, and then you want to click on it because it's always a good story. Mm. So, you know, it's not that, of course, you know.
It delivers what it promises,
yeah,
always.
Yeah, you don't click and then go, oh, shit, this is not that story.
No, if it says, I want John McCain to die, you click on it. Oh, yeah, she really wants John McCain to die.
I still do.
Oh, did you see someone, Zero Hedge, quoted you in like half their article?
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone decided, yeah, actually, I reckon it would be good if John McCain died. And quoted a few paragraphs from that old. This was back in July of last year. You wrote that.
What's even happening there? Is this a Weekend at Bernie's situation? Like, you know, how like they'd roll him out and everything. It's like, oh yes, well that is his body. We can see, but what is going on in that brain? It must be just Swiss cheese by now.
There's nothing. It's ghosts.
Yeah. And so, but we still read his tweets and stuff.
Yeah, there's no way he's writing those damn tweets.
No way. Right. Yeah,
maybe his daughter.
Yeah, well, she's on The View now, so
yeah, maybe during her breaks.
Isn't that fantastic? So we've got a dynasty, a McCain dynasty. Oh, for fuck's sake!
First female president, Caitlin.
Oh God! Oh my God! No, it can't
Neither
get to that
point.
Her
or Nikki Haley.
Oh my God!
Pick one.
Pick one.
Why are you a misogynist?
Oh dear.
I'm giving you two whole choices here.
Yeah, the doomsday clock man will be just, his head will be in his hands for, like, what's he going to do then? Anyway, so yeah. Right, so The Guardian published an article called Revealed. UK's push to strengthen anti-Russia alliance. So, which was this kind of...
It's kind of the same thing, huh?
Yes. We're talking about, actually, the two articles really relate to each other because there's a lot in the news now about how we have been lying, but we need to continue lying. And I hope you'll be okay with that.
Going to need to kick it up a notch, maybe.
Yes.
Might stand out a little bit.
Yeah, the lying doesn't need to just continue. It needs to actually, we need to be really big on the old lies here. I'm sorry, guys.
It's going to be kind of awkward for everyone, yeah. But we need to do this because otherwise you might believe that Russia isn't lying.
Yes. Yeah. And it's almost like they're talking to the intellectuals or something like that, which is how they've developed this kind of liberal culture, I guess, is that, they talk to the intellectuals and then they, people with big brains aren't necessarily the wisest people because they can create, they can really twist themselves into pretzels, creating reasons to believe the weirdest things.
Some of the most horrible people you'll ever meet are very intelligent, have very high IQs, but all that means is they come up with really high level reasons to believe that all Muslims should be killed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever their horrible belief is, their reframe is that they've, and that they will sincerely tell you that this is a logical and reasoned position. And then they will go through it and you go, wow, well, yeah, I guess, their logic and reason, you've certainly used your brain a lot on this for this horrible conclusion that doesn't make sense to anyone.
So you're saying that they basically market to these people who will go out and put their creativity and intellect toward explaining why we must believe Big Brother.
Exactly. So yeah, that's this kind of, I mean, I'm only just thinking this now, but that is kind of how they do it, isn't it? They put it in the New York Times or the Guardian. And they, use big words and stuff and then entice people into putting their creativity to reframing these horrible things that they're going to have to do anyway.
Right. And, anyone who basically moves in any circle in social media or online, any online forum at all, has encountered these folks who basically see it as their job to tell you the way that you are thinking wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And it got to the point with Facebook, if people were writing more than two paragraphs in a comment, I was not reading them anymore.
Yeah. Because you have to click that See More thing. Do you still have that See More thing? I haven't used Facebook in a long time.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even sure if they do because I never click the See More thing anymore. if you have to step people into your world so much and it's not a simple thing, then I mean that's not always true, that there are some incredibly intelligent people who put their brains to very wise things, but that's not who this is pitched at, right? So Patrick Winter has written this piece about okay guys, we're gonna have to lie, but this is why lying is good, this is why propaganda is good, this is why we're gonna propagandize the nation. And they've been prepping liberals for this for a very long time. This whole notion that they're better than everyone else and that they think at a higher level than everyone else and their votes should be worth more than everyone else is something that, seeded right through universities. Someone was mentioning online that they used to think that while they were going through uni. And because I did 1 year of a arts degree at Melbourne University, and which is, extremely elitist bullshit. And I vaguely had those notions as well that, some of us are just more intelligent than others and those decisions should be left up to us, which I do not believe now. But I did kind of... They do ask you to play with those notions, that perhaps some people are more equal than others intellectually. So, yeah, anyway, so he pitches it right at this. He's talking about Russian disinformation. They're very upset about the Skripal thing. They're working really hard because that just fell apart day after day. They would build up their little sandcastle and then someone would come and kick it down again. And it's just one thing after the other. I see this guy, Patrick Wintour, actually had to issue another retraction in The Guardian because they came out with this story about there was that the Novichok could have been 100 grams worth of Novichok.
Like, I'm American. I have no idea what a gram is.
But even you know that's I know a lot. That
100 grams would be quite a bit.
Yeah.
You would be looking at it.
It's half a cup.
Okay.
So it's a lot.
If it was cocaine, it would be like a few thousand dollars.
Yeah. Well, a gram is what you would sell something like cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, they couldn't even, this is where they're at. They're just so disorganized that, like, the people, the OPCW came out and said, we didn't say that. Like, you know, because it went big, of course. It's a bombshell story.
And they couldn't find who said it.
Yeah, and it was just, so Patrick Wintour actually wrote that piece. So he knows very well how badly this is all going for Empire. Like, you know, the Skripal thing was something they've been working very hard on, you know, they threw out diplomats and stuff. They've got a lot invested in this propaganda.
It wasn't just them that threw out diplomats. Like, the whole planet threw out diplomats. Yes. It's a whole bunch of countries.
Yeah.
Like a couple dozen, I think.
That's right. So, you know, you've got to trust, it's not just their people trusting the propaganda. It's everyone else in the world who went, oh, okay, yes, of course we shall throw out the diplomats.
Including Australia.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Washington's basement.
Yeah. Oh, and still, you know, part of the Commonwealth or whatever. So, anyway, we've... So
you wrote this whole article, right? And it's... And the whole thing is weird. He talked about, like, how wrong and bad the Russians are because they... don't want to come to a common understanding of the truth with us.
Yes. So,
which is Empire speak for they refuse to capitulate to our narrative about how evil Russians are.
That's a hard story to just tell. Look, we really need you to tell the story that you're evil.
So you just go around poisoning ex-spies for no reason at a time where it's strategically disastrous and makes no sense and fail. You failed to do it. I think for Putin, that would be the most embarrassing thing to admit.
Yeah, I always thought that. Like, you know, yeah, like, what? If we're going to kill someone.
He can't just come out and say it, but you know he said it privately. If I was going to kill that fucker, he'd be dead.
Yeah, because it's such a farce. Anyway, so yeah. So he's just, he's making the case that, look here, Wintour spins a narrative about the US, UK and their tight network of allies having a complete monopoly on truth and facts. And taking it as an obvious truism that the Russians could only be lying about the sudden deluge of unproven accusations the West has been piling upon them since late 2016. You know, the fact that the Russian narrative disagrees at you know, fairly important points with the Western narrative, he's like, well, we tell the truth. But he's also making the point in this article that we should tell the truth, you know, with more... He doesn't think that they tell the truth.
No, he's like, you can't be saying, well, we tell the truth and also argue that, well, what we need to do is get more countries on board to agree with us.
Yes.
And that way it'll seem more true.
Yeah.
And more people will believe it.
Yeah.
If you're telling the truth, you don't work so hard on sounding less like a liar.
Yeah. Anyway, so he makes it through the entire article without once mentioning Iraq. So he's talking the whole time about, you know, how the West needs to get the edge on the information war or whatever, and never ever addresses the fact that 15 years ago there was a war that that was manufactured from the ground up from lies and propaganda that killed 1 million people, and that has never been resolved. That's never, no one has ever gone to jail for it. Nothing has ever happened about that. Nothing has changed. In fact, nothing changed to the point where it happened again in Libya. So we did the whole thing occurred exactly again with the same propaganda, you know, the Viagra and they're raping people, etc. Give us the money, give us the weapons. And then they went to war and now it's an open slave trade. No one ever talks about it anymore. And Patrick Wintour doesn't talk about it either, deliberately, I guess, because, you know, this is the obvious thing. If you're going to talk about a Western disinformation.
That's what everyone is thinking.
Yeah.
It's on everyone's mind, so why aren't you saying it? It's conspicuous. It's very conspicuous.
You have to address it.
You can't, I couldn't even read the thing, because it's like, no, fuck you, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Where you pretend that the problem is that the Russians don't want to get on board and come to a common understanding of the truth. No, the problem is that you lie about war and you're currently...
lying by admission.
Saying things to get us into wars that are filled with plot holes unproven.
Exactly. And that's why when people, everyday people, you know, in Australia, like when I talk to them about what's happening in Syria, or when I say to them, what do you reckon's happening in Syria? They say, well, it feels a bit Iraqy. Like,
you know, but like, they never fucking say that.
Yeah.
You won't turn on the TV and hear the ABC news person talking and going, okay, well, so I know the Iraq thing, that was awful, but here's why this is completely different.
Yeah.
They never, ever, ever, ever do that.
And it's very conspicuous. And, you know, you wonder if they don't do that because they can't possibly find any differences. But, you know, that's up to them. That is on them. We need to push back really hard on them. The thing is, though, they're already, they understand these. Oh, God, they're such snakes. So the next piece that I talk about in this article is a BBC thing.
Fucking BBC has been so toxic lately.
Oh,
I mean, they're always toxic. Yeah. They really kicked it up a notch.
Yeah. This whole thing's really hard to watch because it's just gross. Oh, it's just the most disgusting thing.
So the video clip is in the article for anyone who's curious about what is making Caitlin make those guttural noises.
Yeah. I just really had the voice of reason telling you all these disgusting things that turn your tummy. Like, it's just, oh. It just really annoys me. His name's Gabriel Gatehouse, and he's like, for the time watching it, he was my least favorite person in the entire world. So, anyway, one of the things, though, that he did in that British accent was he told us that the first giveaway when someone is trying to, when someone is giving you Russian propaganda is to use the word false flag.
Because only in the context of Russian propaganda could that possibly appear.
That's fucking history, mate.
Couldn't possibly be the fact that false flags happen a lot.
And have happened since the SS Main. You know, like, yes, over and over and over again.
Documented facts.
The Gulf of Tonkin. They are documented facts. And just because they're uncomfortable for the Western Empire to actually have to, you know, talk about, because they're often, it's yeah. Anyway, so that they do actually happen. That's history. Anyway, and the other thing was that so they're all trying to get on the front foot with this Iraq thing because they can feel like the populace going, yeah, but what about Iraq? And that unanswered question is going to have to be answered at some point.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless the Guardian can only delete so many comments. Before they start noticing that the word Iraq is coming up a lot.
Comment is free, was what the thing that they opened up with their internet. And now that has become just the most ironic statement. Yeah. Anyway, so he tells you in these measured mid-Atlantic tones that the whataboutism is a thing. And then he goes on to explain that when someone is talking about Syria and Duma, and then the person interjects with, well, what about Iraq? That has nothing to do with anything. And so that, therefore, is called a whataboutism.
That's not even how a whataboutism works.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even how an internet shill uses the term whataboutism.
Look,
it's just like, that's just someone pointing out a relevant thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but they do use it online like that. Hang on. I'll just read out these quotes because it was just so yuck. Another weapon in Moscow's propaganda arsenal is a method known as whataboutism. Here's how it works. You say you have intelligence that Russia used a chemical weapon in Salisbury. Well, what about Iraq? One narrative is apparently neutralized by another apparently unrelated objection.
Unrelated.
This really, Gabrielle?
This weapon of mass destruction could not possibly have anything to do with Iraq.
Yeah.
this accusation that is being used to manufacture consent for escalations against this country on the basis of a WMD accusation is completely unrelated to Iraq.
Yeah, so different. So different. So anyway, asshole. Yeah. And then he talked to a woman on the thing, and she's great. And then he actually calls her a useful idiot.
Yeah,
her fucking face.
She says like she's got like cringe when she says, "Well, I am gonna say, you know, Iraq. What about Iraq?"
Yeah,
and like apology. She's already apologetic. Like he's clearly already let her know that she's not supposed to say that.
Yeah,
and he goes, "Some people might call you a useful idiot for saying that." Like me right now, to your face.
Shame, shame, shame and guilt.
Dickhead.
Oh, so gross, isn't it? I really want to punch the freaking laptop. Anyway, so yeah. What about Iraq, okay?
You can't just say,
put ism at the end of the word and that be a one word debunk. No. No, that's not a thing.
What if I call you a useful idiot afterwards?
No, that doesn't even work.
So just, what about ism? You are a useful idiot. Can we not talk about Iraq then?
No, we need to talk about Iraq. That definitely needs to happen. That definitely needs to happen. Not one person was jailed for that. Like, not one person has had any repercussions for that. We've had no indication whatsoever that the system has changed, and every indication that it's running very smoothly, and that these things that seem to occur, you know, every, there's a butcher. They can't even come up with different words. The butcher of Baghdad, the butcher of, you know, it's so bizarre. Like, they cannot, so little imagination goes into this. I am offended. Come on with some different words.
At least be creative in your attempt to deceive me.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got to address Iraq. That's a thing, and that needs to happen, and we're gonna make you address it.
And yes. Yeah, any time some Patrick Wintour guy comes in and writes this long, long screed, If the words "here's why this is nothing like Iraq" or something similar isn't mentioned there, the whole thing is garbage. Yeah. You can throw it in the trash. You did not write an actual article. You just wrote word salad.
Yeah. Yes. And they're good at that.
Yeah.
So.
So fucking just address that, please, because we're not going to let it go.
No, and we shouldn't let it go. And really, I urge anyone who's listening to it clearly makes them uncomfortable, and so they're giving people some tools. But who knows how to use those tools? It's like, you know, you will be watching that documentary and go, oh, okay, so I just say whataboutism if they say Iraq. Okay, I'm programmed correctly. But like... It's fairly easy to step around. It's like putting a hay bale in front of you and going, ha-ha, you can't move forward.
You're trapped forever.
yeah, like, you know, wet, hot American summer.
Right. Now, so when you encounter one of the liberal thought police people online or wherever, and they say, oh, well, actually, you're not allowed to think that, or actually, here's what you need to be thinking about Russia, or here's what you need to be thinking about Syria, the correct thing to say is, I want you to explain in detail why this could not possibly be anything remotely like Iraq.
Yeah, you need to make the case for that.
We have to talk about that first. You don't get to make any other cases until then. Get around this first.
Right, the burden of proof is upon them. Because there's either do nothing, which is our position, which requires no proof whatsoever,
right.
Or, you know...
Inaction and skepticism.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the ones making the accusation. You're the ones making the claim. And really, the burden of proof was them on Iraq, too. So, fucking... At least we can insist on it this time.
Yeah. Wow. You know, yeah. So, yeah. That's basically the couple of articles and stuff.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, which is actually best because you can get an email notification whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, beautiful people.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.